to the world of sports. Game On Amplified on Radio 2000.
Exactly 8 after the hour 6. Welcome to it. It's Game On Radio 2000. On a day that we speak to Mark Stratum a little bit later on, one of my favorite journos who covers football, to tell us about the blowout that happened at the airport upon the return of Bafana Bafana. Has Stuart Baxter reached the levels to which we saw Pitso Mosimane succumb to? Maybe even the levels that saw Sheikh Mashaba being let go from Bafana Bafana. Earlier on today at the airport upon his arrival, himself, Stuart Baxter, the coach of Bafana Bafana, and a journalist had interactions that Safa would rather not talk about. All of that still coming up right here on Radio 2000. Thank you so much to NS Pillay and the gang. They do it again on Monday between 3 and 6. Great conversations and even better Radio 2000 music on that show. Let's start, of course, with the news-making headlines. Starting off with rugby news, there have been many occasions in the history of the Springbok rugby that the national team have dug deep when faced with challenges. And of course, backs to the wall scenario is what they're facing this weekend. But a morale-boosting win would arguably never been more necessary than it is right now. Even Itzebeth men go into the smash against France, a side that beat them 3-0 in South Africa in June off the back of a humiliating record 38-3 defeat to Ireland. A need to win if they're going to save the tour and, of course, maybe, perhaps, their coach's job.
I think it might play a big part as well, you know, in the confidence for the team that will be playing that time. Knowing that, you know, we also went there in 2007 and we, you know, we did well, we won the tournament. You know, so it's something that the team can have, you know, build from and, you know, take confidence from as well. You know, and, you know, so it's one of those that, you know, hopefully, you know, we can do it again.
So that's a French team that, of course, knows the beating from Bafana Bafana. But this time, it's a lot more than just a game, isn't it? Especially after the 2023 World Cup going to France instead of South Africa. It's a grudge match. Let's now move on to some cricket. And Warriors coach Malibongwe Maketa says he's proud and honored to have been chosen by the Proteas coach Otis Gibson as his assistant. 37 years old. And, of course, he was yesterday named by Cricket South Africa as deputy to the West Indian. With several other new appointments revealed, former Dolphins batsman Dale Beckenstein is the new batting coach, with Cape Cobras veteran Justin Ontong was named as the fielding coach. Craig Govender is taking over as the new physiotherapist. Maketa says he is looking forward to the next chapter of his career and in particular learning from Gibson.
Yeah, I'm very proud. It's really something I haven't been focusing on, but proud nonetheless, you know, to get the recognition of the work that he's put in. So it's always a proud moment. It's really an opportunity to grow. I mean, here's a coach with so much experience in playing and in coaching. He's coaching England as a bowling coach, and he's also worked as West Indies head coach. So in terms of experience and in terms of growth for me, it's going to be unbelievable, you know, to work with such a coach. Something that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, we are looking forward, of course, to a new look Proteas team. We spoke to Dale Steyn yesterday here on the show, and he too was excited that there would be a new look team to look forward to the future of the Proteas. Now let's take a look at the matches in football. It's TKO weekend, and of course the first season at Kaizer Chiefs. Steve Kompela still has yet to see victory in his third season. In his first season, he lost to Mamelodi Sundowns in the Telkom knockout final, and now in his third season with the Makosi, has not brought anything to the Telkom knockout, to the trophy cabinet rather, at Kaizer Chiefs. It's for this reason that the Chiefs faithful will be looking forward to Kompela and his team doing well against Bidvest Wits with the Telkom knockout semi-final at the Bidvest Stadium tomorrow afternoon. Kompela knows, though, that, hey, a lot is at stake, and he comes with quotables.
I don't know, Mark. I'm a man of process. And honestly, even with the outcome that is favorable, I would still assume that it belongs to the process, not myself. Maybe again, owning up as part of leadership, if it doesn't come through as favorable, then you stand up and own up and face again the music. It's part of life. When it is sweet, let's share. When it is sour, take it.
There you are, quotables. When it is sweet, let's share. When it is sour, well, take it. That is Steve Khompela. I'll be taking your calls on this as, of course, we speak to a journalist to preview the weekend. 089-110-2000. Your thoughts on the most successful team in cup competitions, particularly this cup in South Africa, yet to win under this man, Steve Khompela. You can go back to the days when it was called the Dutson Challenge. You can go back to, you know, even the special knockout, the John Player special knockout that it was known then. The Rothmans Cup even, and Chiefs would have won it. But in the last 3 years, Dololo. The Telkom Knockout Weekend also sees, of course, the only domestic cup competition that Bidvest are yet to lift in their history, and they'll need to beat the rivals Kaizer Chiefs side in the semi-finals in order to book a spot in the final. Wits and Bafana Bafana goalkeeper Darren Keat believes that they will need to take their current form into the penultimate clash. Keat says that they're also looking forward to welcoming a number of their national players back into their side.
I don't think we're looking too much into form cup compared to the league. I think we've got to look at our current form, and you know, we've won our last 2 out of 3 games, so that's a good start for us there. And you know, we also kept a clean sheet in our last game against Baraka, so that's also good. We have a couple of players that went on international duty. They'll be coming back, and obviously we're preparing ourselves for Saturday, and come Saturday I think we'll be ready. So we'll be a good, strong, well-balanced team, so we need to take that into the game, and we'll need to take our clean sheet from last, well, 2 weeks ago into the game. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Meanwhile, Bloemfontein Celtic captain Jabulani Maluleka says it's a big achievement for his side to be in the last four, adding that everyone is confident of victory. Maluleka also echoes the sentiment of his coach about having two competitive keepers ahead of a big game, adding that he wishes whoever will be in goals the very best.
It's a big achievement for us to play against them and to reach that stage. So I think coming on Sunday, it will be a big boost for us and the boys to show the talent that we've got to reach the final. With God's grace, I think, and with the belief that we have amongst ourselves as players, I think we're going all the way to the final and let the best team win on Sunday. A big boost for us, because we know we've got the teamwork amongst ourselves, even when George is not here, Ross is there at the pole. So I think give credit to him, since he came in and showed his talent that he can take the place of number one. So just wish him all the best and he can perform.
Of course, that is the Telkom Knockout Weekend. Let's move over to our final story of the day, and it's a big one. It's former Bafana Bafana assistant coach Owen De Gama who weighs in on the debate over the national team's failure to qualify for the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. Without mincing his word, De Gama says that coach Stuart Baxter cost us, the national team, South Africa, a spot in the 21st edition of the Global Showpiece.
I think we got it wrong with the coach. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he failed us in the last World Cup qualifiers, and he was given another chance, and he failed again. I mean, arguments that he hasn't had enough time. This is a national team. There were big gaps between the matches. There was enough time. There was continuity. Remember, this is a Bafana team that Stuart Baxter took over that went 17 matches unbeaten. And now to come and lose twice against Cape Verde and to lose again twice against Senegal, I think that's not good enough for the national team. And if people say that's good enough, then I don't know football. But that's not good enough. I mean, it's definitely not good enough. You know, there's no way that Cape Verde should be anywhere close in beating Bafana home and away. I think the selection was started very well. There was continuity from the Burkina Faso Angola game that went to Nigeria, and we won that game. And then after the Nigeria game, we started changing things around, and that's when we started losing. So we changed the continuity, and for me personally, it's not a criticism, it's an observation. I believe that it's not good enough for Bafana, because we went 17 games unbeaten.
That's the voice of the man that was assistant coach to Bafana Bafana's Sheikh Mashaba and took over after he was just let go. Before, of course, Stuart Baxter came in and didn't pick him as part of his team. Is it a bitter Owen De Gama that's speaking, or, when you listen to what he's saying, a factual Owen Tagama that's speaking. I'm going to play that again, of course, just before we speak about Bafana Bafana. But I want your opinions on this one. 089-110-2000. He makes some important points there that have not been made on this show in any way. Yet, I have not seen anybody speak about Bafana's unbeaten record before Stuart Baxter took over. We've all spoken about what he's not been able to do as coach of Bafana Bafana. He says he hasn't had time. Whoever has time as a coach of a national team, you got to hit the ground running. When you look at the team that was already put together and how they were playing, the changes he made, we speak often about the tactical changes he makes during games as well, including substitutions. Stuart Baxter, is he the man to take us forward? He's already the man that's taken us so far back.
Time is not on your side. While millions of South Africans have already said, let's do this, and then done it, there are still some who are yet to file their 2017 tax return. If you're one of the few, don't forget that the deadline is 24 November, and missing it will lead to penalties, so you don't want to get left behind. Time is running out. Tick, tick, tick. Tax season 2017. Let's do this. SARS. At your service.
Radio 2000.
It's 18 after the hour 6. It's a Game On, proudly brought to you by SABC Sport on Radio 2000. Follow us on Twitter. It's at Radio2000ZA, at Andy Lingube. And share your comments on any of the topics that we'll cover. Of course, starting off with rugby news. We know the Springboks going up against a French team that they've beaten so many times here in South Africa. June was a good example of that. But at the moment, the way the team works, when you look at the 10 changes being made, 4 to the starting 15, one wonders if Alistair Kassier is beginning to feel the pressure. And to talk to us about rugby now, we go to rugby journalist Johan de Roo. Johan, thank you so much for talking to us. Is this a sign of an Alistair Kassier that's feeling the pressure?
Thank you very much, Andile. Well, I don't think Alistair Kassier could not feel the pressure at this stage after the season that he's had, and including last year as well, which was one of the most, I think it was the worst season in South African rugby history. And this season, it hasn't quite gone according to plan either for him, especially after that heavy loss against Ireland. Alistair Kassier just seems to be breaking record after record, and it's not the good kind, the heaviest loss that we suffered against Ireland last weekend. So he really must be feeling under a lot of pressure. I want to talk about those 10 changes, because I think it is a little bit, I don't want to say deceiving, but a little bit misleading. It was the headline that says that South Africa has made 10 changes, because the changes really, I saw somebody on Twitter put it nicely, it's like musical chairs. The changes really not that significant. A couple of significant changes, yes, especially in the number 10 jersey, Hunger Pollard getting the nod ahead of Alton Yankee. But I think that and the inclusion of Dwayne Vermeulen, probably the only two significant changes. I really would have liked to have seen more changes and more significant changes, especially with Lukanyo Am and Warwick Kalant in the team. I really felt that this was an opportunity for Alistair Kassier to just kind of throw everything that he has at the French and include those two players, probably the two best players in the Currie Cup this season. But yeah, Alistair Kassier must definitely be feeling the pressure. I think he knows that even if he does pick up a win tomorrow, he might be losing his job towards the end of this year.
I mean, we're talking about, what is it, the capacity of the stadium is something like 82,000 people who are celebrating hosting a World Cup in 2023, playing a team that's down and out at the moment after having lost to a record score against Ireland. It's going to be a tough match to watch. Are we able to, as a Springboks, before we even get to the technicalities and the technicalities of this team, are we able to pick ourselves up? Has the team playing under Alistair Kassier shown that they're able to pick themselves up and fight after a bad loss? One might look at the New Zealand game and say, perhaps that is a sign that we are able to pick ourselves up.
I think that the team definitely is able to pick themselves up, especially if you look at that forward pack. Now that Dwayne Vermeulen is back, one of the key players in South Africa over the last few years, it's great to see him back. He's a great leader as well. Then you've got Francois Lowe, you've got Eben Etzebeth, you've got Sia Kolisi, great, great leaders in the team. And I think that the match and the team will be built around those guys tomorrow, because they are the ones that are able to motivate the players. I think Alistair Kassier, if it was just up to him, probably not able to do that, because we've seen over the last 2 years his record isn't a good one. But I definitely think the players have the ability to pick themselves up. But now it's also that mental aspect. Do they really want to pick themselves up? Are they able to just go that one little step further and say, well, we've had a tough season, but we've still got a long tour ahead of us. Let's try and pick ourselves up. I don't don't know if the team is going to be able to do that, because that is very difficult, especially after a demoralizing week for South African rugby, with South Africa not getting the privilege of hosting the 2023 Rugby World Cup. I want to say that the Boks are able to do it, but my head at this stage is just saying that the team is quite dispirited at the moment, and I think it's going to be a very tough evening for them in Paris.
We've played at the Stade de France before. I mean, we've played three games there. We've won one, lost two. And when you look at our overall record against France as well, in the 42 that we've played, you know, we've won 25, lost only 11. We've dominated against this French team. But we could have said that going up against Ireland in the previous match. How do you see them lining up against us? And what is it potentially that we could watch out for from the French side?
I think it's great to see France naming an unchanged side for a change. We don't often see that in French rugby. It depends on what French team rocks up tomorrow evening. We saw last weekend against the All Blacks, France in the first half very, very poor, in the second half a lot better. If we play against the France that played in that first half for the full 80 minutes, the Boks might be able to do it. But if they come back and they, like they did in the second half against the All Blacks, I think it's going to be very tough. A player in that French side that we all need to watch out for is Antoine Depot, and I think that Alistair Couture would have spoken a lot about him. He is a scrum half. He's an exceptional player. He's got a great kicking game, and I think he is going to aim a number of those high kicks at the likes of Courtney Skussan and Dylan Leitch, as well as Andy Couture at the back three. So he's a player to look out for. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup in the number 12 jersey as well, as Franz Raffenso comes to win cap number 5. He's lining up against the beast, Mathieu Bastery, a very, very big player. So that's going to be an interesting matchup as well. But looking at the forwards, I think up front, the Boks are able to match them physically. At the back, I think the French might have the upper hand.
Let's go back a little bit to Alton Jajies. He's played the last 10 games. He's showed up for Alistair. Was it warranted that he takes the bench?
I think it's time for Alton to just have a little bit of a sit back. Not that he is necessarily dropped, but I think Alistair Couture needed to try and change something in the back line. And for Alistair Couture, it was to bring Andre Pollard in, who maybe has a little bit of a bit more stability. Andre Pollard hasn't played a lot of rugby over the last year because of injuries. So it's a brave call from Alistair Couture, but he still has Alton Jajies on the bench. Personally, I would have liked to have seen a change at 9 and 10. Rudy Page is still sitting on the bench. I thought that if Alistair Couture did bring Andre Pollard in, he might have decided to bring his halfback pairing at the Bulls, Rudy Page, in, because Alistair Couture likes to pick players in combinations. But Ross Cornier somehow still keeps the number 9 jersey. He's also had a poor season. And like I said, I really would have liked to have seen a change in the number 15 jersey. Andy Couture has had the opportunity to play 10 matches in a row for South Africa. He hasn't scored a try as yet. And with Warwick Holland in the Springbok squad, I thought it was an opportunity for him to get a first Springbok cap. He was unbelievable during the Currie Cup season. And that's a player that really can spark something out of nothing. And at the moment, if you look at the back line, there really isn't somebody who's able to do that. Perhaps Dylan Leitch, perhaps Courtney Skussan, but they just haven't shown that at international level just yet.
Can a victory here save the job of Alistair Couture? And do you foresee a victory in this match?
I have to say I don't foresee a victory. I think I will be quite surprised if the Boks are able to pull off a win tomorrow. But I think either way, the writing is on the wall. If the Boks pull off a surprise win in France tomorrow, I don't think it will be enough to save Alistair Couture's job. We all heard the rumours about the conversation that Alistair Couture apparently had with Mark Alexander, the president of South African Rugby. Who knows if that's true, but I'm sure that those phone calls will be a lot more frequently, will come a lot more frequently over the next while, because I think Alistair Couture is on the verge of losing his job. Rassie Erasmus is coming back to South African Rugby. That's already been confirmed. It could be an opportunity for him to take over, but I don't think there's much that Alistair Couture can do at this stage to save his job.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Johan Le Roux, rugby journalist, SABC, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Andile. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game.
Same to you. Johan Le Roux there speaking to us about the Boks. We take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's a big one in the English Premiership. I know a couple of friends of mine are going to be watching that Arsenal game with glee.
M. Lanjani, the mid-morning show with KG, every weekday, 9 a.m. to midday.
We want to hear the crazy things that you have done for love.
I wrote a letter.
Yeah.
And I gave it to one girl to give it to this particular girl.
Yeah.
Here's this girl in the group of her friends.
Aww.
Then I walked past and I greeted them. A few meters away, they all said, hello there. That is how I had written my letter. I felt so ashamed.
Hello there.
I wish the ground will open and swallow me.
Hello there.
Hello there. And I feel very bad. Also, I was in tertiary.
Yeah.
Okay, so I met this chick at the tertiary and I loved her so much. With the money that I was supposed to buy my grocery, I took the money and I bought a nice sandal. Within weeks or a month, she got a new boyfriend.
And she was wearing the damn sandal.
She was wearing my shoes and I was so heartbroken.
Culture says you must never buy shoes.
Shoes.
Don't buy shoes for women. Who's a ham?
Pamela and Jenny, the mid-morning show.
My First is a brand new thrilling SABC One reality series which seeks to follow first-timers in all areas of life through their emotional yet intriguing journeys. We are looking for brand new compelling stories from young men and women who want to share their emotional and engaging journey of their very first experience with us. Email us on info@myfirst.org.za or find us on Facebook. Or write to us on My First PO Box 3164 North Riding 2162.
Are you on your way to a summer getaway? Get your car in holiday shape and a little something extra at Superquick this festive season. Get all your road trip ready checkups and your share of 5 million rand in unique giveaways when you spend 4,000 rand or more. Superquick, tire experts, closer to you. Offer valid 10 November to 24 December 2017. While stocks last, giveaways may vary between branches. T's and C's apply.
Game on Amplified.
Bafana Bafana coach Stuart Baxter, apparently this morning upon arriving in South Africa, did not have the best of interviews in the presses that he did. Altercations and apparently words were exchanged. We're going to be speaking to Mark Stratum, who was at the press conference, about Stuart Baxter. And of course, remember what happened to Sheikh Mashaba, what ended up getting him fired. You remember Peter Mosimane as coach of Bafana Bafana as well. His interviews and his relationship with the press. I've often asked this. Why is it that every Bafana Bafana coach ends up having this sort of relationship with the press? And I'll put it to Mark Stratum, who is a member of the press that covers Bafana Bafana. Is it something that they do to, of course, edge the coaches this way? Do they are the ones that ache the coaches to go this way? Why is it that every coach ends up in this manner? And of course, you heard a little bit earlier from Owen Dagama, his opinion on Bafana Bafana not qualifying. He puts the blame solely on Stuart Baxter's door. We'll get to that in just a bit. Right now, though, we're speaking about English football. And to do that, Sport 24 football journalist Baden Gillian joins us on the line. Baden, you want to be in North London this weekend. This is apparently a Tottenham Hotspur team that's the closest to any other to perhaps winning the EPL.
Hey, Andili. Yeah, that's true. I think the tides are turning in London because I think Spurs are on the up and coming. So I think to me it's going to be a tightly contested game where Spurs are the favourites to take it.
Imagine a game between Arsenal and Tottenham are the favourites. I must admit, I mean, to get a Tottenham Hotspur that's this exciting to watch, one would have to go back to that Harry Redknapp team that had the likes of Gareth Bale, Modric, Aaron Lennon, that went into the Champions League. That's a team that was lost so great that, you know, induced so much emotion out of people.
Yes, exactly. So it's probably the most creative team since Harry Redknapp's time. But I think the most important difference is the team's mentality and the toughness. I remember Alex Ferguson, he kind of hyped up United before his Spurs game with the words like, lads, it's Spurs, and that's all you need to say. So it is the most creative, exciting team since Harry Redknapp's days when he was in charge of the team. But I think the most impressive thing of watching their side is the mentality, the toughness, and that's why I think they rightly the favourites for tomorrow's game.
Taking a look at some of the pick of the games there, Arsenal take on Tottenham Hotspur, and of course it is Leicester City that are going to be under the knife, surely, of Manchester City as Man United take on Newcastle. Let's talk about that game there, that Man City game against Leicester City. It's not the Leicester City of a season or two ago. It is a Man City of a brand new season under Pep Guardiola. They're scoring goals at will. They're leading the charts in terms of goals scored in the Premier League. They're setting all sorts of records for scoring goals, and they're playing a very weakened Leicester City.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very much changed Leicester side from when they won the Premiership. And I think City, they are the team to avoid at the moment. No one wants to face them. It sure doesn't look like it's a pleasure playing against them as well. They are the form side, and I think they will go on to break goal-scoring records and perhaps points records as well. And they certainly look like favourites for the title at this point. So I think it will be tough for Leicester. I'm predicting goals in that 1-4 Guardiola side. So it looks like it's going to be a tough time for Leicester tomorrow.
Leicester, they take on Man City. Speaking of Man City, Manchester, the other team from Manchester, Manchester United this time around, take on Newcastle United. The two United, the one big thing here, Pogba and Ibrahimovic could be back.
Yeah, I've been hearing rumours about this. Nothing has been confirmed yet, but this is big news for United because since Pogba has been out, they've missed him. And with Zlatan as well, they've really missed having another option up front as well. Because the only system that you can give Lukaku is that sometimes he fails to hold up the ball, who invites pressure onto the defense all the time. So you know, if you can't hold up or hold onto the ball, you constantly, it's coming back the other way again. So your defense, they're having to defend all the time and you can't really set the tempo of the game. So with these two players back, and they do enjoy playing with each other as well, this could be big news for United, where they are already 5 points behind or trailing City. So this could be big news because they really need to put a few wins together to put some pressure on City as well.
6:33, speaking, of course, a debate in Gillian of Sports 24 football journalist about the EPL and this weekend's fixtures. It's some big fixtures, but I want to move over the pond a little bit and go to Spain. It's the Madrid derby, a Real Madrid team that's not doing as well as they wanted to this season. But then again, when you look at Champions League football, one could say the same for Atletico.
Yes, exactly. So both teams are surprisingly struggling up front, with Ronaldo only scoring one goal in the league so far. And Atletico Madrid's main player as well, Griezmann, he's also famed at the back of the net. So this game is important for both teams, not only because it's a derby, but they actually need to keep up pace with Barcelona as well. So it puts that added pressure on both sides to get 3 points and stay in the race for the La Liga title as well.
It's 6:34 and I've got to let you go. Baden Gillian, thank you so much for sharing with us your knowledge of the European game, and we hope for a great sporting weekend as far as football is concerned.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Gillian.
Really great speaking EPL with you. If you want to talk to us at 089-110-2000, we get into Mark Stradham next, because the story we're about to tell you and the clip I'm about to replay for you is that, of course, of Owen da Gama putting squarely the blame at the door of Bafana coach as to why it is that Bafana has not qualified. I do understand, and I do challenge you to come with the facts that, you know, he speaks about the 17 unbeaten record. That was a record that he was a part of course, as assistant coach to Sheikh Mashaba. He then took over, and once an appointment had been made, one that I'm pretty sure Owen da Gama also wanted to coach Bafana, he was left out in the cold, not involved in the structures of Bafana. With that in mind, listen to the facts ODG is talking about and tell me your thoughts. Mark Stradham up next.
This is South Africa's classic station. Love the classics. Love our music. Setting the mood right. Our music, your memories. Join the Radio 2000 digital community. Be part of the positive.
Turn your stereo up
and interact with your favorite Radio 2000 personalities. Keep informed about breaking news and current issues.
Am I the winner?
Win tickets to music and sports events with Radio 2000 using the hashtag #WinWith2000.
It's a pun.
Radio 2000 continues to inform and engage you.
Oh, that I want to hear.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Radio 2000
ZA. Radio 2000. Our music, your memories. Game On Amplified, 6 to 7 p.m. on Radio 2000.
Times Media journalist and witness Mark Stradham now joins us on the line. Mark, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me. Hello, listeners.
Before I even go into it, I want you to listen to this with us. Owen da Gama's comments on Stuart Baxter and Bafana. Have a listen.
I think we got it from the coach.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, he failed us in the last World Cup qualifiers, and he was given another chance, and he failed again. I mean, arguments that he hasn't had enough time. This is a national team. There were big gaps between the matches. There was enough time. There was continuity. Remember, this is a Bafana team that Stuart Baxter took over that went 17 matches unbeaten. And now to come and lose twice against Cape Verde and to lose again twice against Senegal, I think that's not good enough for the national team. And if people say that's good enough, then I don't know football. But that's not good enough. I mean, it's definitely not good enough. You know, there's no way that Cape Verde should be anywhere close in beating Bafana home and away. I think the selection was started very well. There was continuity from the Burkina Faso Angola game that went to Nigeria, and we won that game. And then after the Nigeria game, we started changing things around, and that's when we started losing. So we changed the continuity, and for me personally, it's not a criticism, it's an observation. I believe that is not good enough for Bafana, because we went 17 games unbeaten.
Mark Stradom, those are the words of Owen Tagama. Criticism, or is it somebody that's just stating facts? And if so, is he correct?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that flip, Andile. You call me up when I have to use my brain and it's cooking and I've got steam coming out of my ears with those kind of issues. That's great. Owen makes some good points. I'm not going to go on record and say I don't think Stuart is good enough. I don't know if if we've got enough time to have proof of that. But I think Owen makes some good points that, you know, for to start pointing fingers now, like Stuart has been at the problems in South African football when he took the job, quite clearly thinking that he had a decent team. And thinking and left a comfortable job at SuperSport. And why would he do that unless he thought he had a shot at the World Cup? And to start saying, you know, okay, we're aware these problems in South African football exist. We speak about them exhaustively. We're aware that we should have a better class of player coming through. But certainly, if we're just going to talk about these qualifiers, I think there was we haven't had a better chance to qualify for a World Cup since 2002. And so from that point of view, if you just look at these qualifiers in isolation, I think Stuart is not quite being as upfront as he needs to be about his role in us not going to the World Cup.
Well, let's speak about what Stuart is being. There was a press conference that was held upon their return today. How long was that press conference, Mark?
You mean the one at the airport?
One at the airport, yes.
Okay. Yeah, look, it wasn't a press conference call, but what happened was... On the soft media, there's a WhatsApp group that all the journalists are included on, and a message was sent out that Bafana Bafana are coming at this time at the airport at 5:30 at OR Tambo, and basically the implication is that if journalists want to be there, speak to players and the coach, you can be there. So basically there were only four of us there. There was myself from Times Media. There was now Tiso Blackstar. There was Sazi Khadebe, also from Tiso Blackstar on Sunday Times. There were two other people, one from Kickoff and one from Power FM. And, there wasn't an organized press conference. And when we did try to speak to Stuart, it turned into a bit of it all went a bit pear-shaped. We ended up speaking to the coach possibly for about 10 minutes, but, the sort of details. Yeah, I mean,
Bafana
coach the details of that.
Comes back to South Africa.
Yeah.
The press is told and invited, because that's what it is. When you're going to be giving details of when Bafana come, that is an invitation, Mark. Invited to come and talk to him. Gives you 10
Absolutely.
Minutes of his time after having gone away and lost a match. He comes back, gives you 10 minutes of his time. And tell me about the 10 minutes and, of course, the exchanges between yourselves and Stuart Baxter.
Yeah. Okay, Andile, look, it was pretty heated. Initially... What happened was, okay, Stuart came through, he was walking past, we approached him to speak to us. Initially, he didn't want to speak to us. He said, no, there's been no press conference organized. There was an issue between him and one of our journalists, and possibly with me as well. There seemed to be an issue with Times Media and the fact that we, and now called Tiso Blackstar, that we had criticized Stuart He felt over the top manner. So basically, initially he refused to speak. He then relented and said, "Okay, we sort of, you know, pressurized him and said, you know, coach, we've come all the way here. There was a press release sent out." He relented and said, "Well, I'll give you 2 minutes." So then we basically started the press conference, and my colleague Sazi Khadebe asked the first question, which is, after these disastrous four matches, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here, and not qualifying for the World Cup, how do you feel you can continue? At which stage Stuart became quite angry and walked off again. And look, yeah, I mean, I'm remembering this as it happened. And we kind of followed him again, and my colleague became quite angry and said, "But we feel you need to answer this question." And it became quite heated, and then Stuart, basically Dominic Chamavi, who's the SAFA communications manager, was trying to pull Stuart away. We said, "No, hang on, the coach is trying to stay." Because at this stage, Stuart was saying, "No, okay, I need to answer this question." And so it's all now at this stage quite confused, I think. And it's quite heated. And eventually after that, Stuart did give us time and did speak to us. But I'm not sure we're entirely happy with some of the content of the answers.
Well, let's talk about some of the contents of those answers and what questions you was being asked. Because, I mean, Stuart Baxter needs to refer back to the people. If you are a Bafana Bafana coach, those that support Bafana Bafana, those that are in this country, those that went out to Polokwane, to Peter Mokaba Stadium, were there to support him. We were there to support Bafana Bafana when he was chosen, when he beat Nigeria and nice things were being said. He was not relenting from interviews. So this time around, when it happens that you've lost four games and taken a possible lead, a team that was the one team that every team in the group wanted to beat to get to the World Cup, they qualified bottom of the group once again, as you did in 2006. You need to talk to the people. So when you did ask him questions, what were you asking and what was his responses?
Okay, look, I mean, obviously, Andile, I'm going to have to paraphrase from memory again. I did take down the quotes and write some stories, but okay, so obviously one of the questions was, do you feel you can carry on? Do you feel you should carry on after this disaster? Stuart took exception to it being called a disaster. He said he'd not been there for a long enough time to be judged. He felt that there'd been some good performances, and based on performances of the team against Burkina Faso, against Nigeria, and even the games against Senegal, where, you know, maybe the coach has a point that actually the performances weren't so bad, the results weren't good. And it was pointed out to him that, no, but what we are asking you, coach, is about results and the fact that we haven't qualified for a World Cup. And it sort of went on from there, and then the coach carried on to say, you know, and we made the point that we have a right to ask this question because this is actually what South Africans are trying to ask. And the coach took exception to that and didn't feel, he felt he'd had a lot of positive feedback. And that not all South Africans actually do feel that way. And then it carried on to Stuart speaking about the sort of problems in South African football, and that these are ingrained problems, and he's just, you know, he's just another coach facing these problems. So, look, I think, Andile, what for me is, like I said, I mean, Stuart took this job believing that he had a decent team and was in a good position to qualify for the World Cup. And I think these are the questions that need to be answered. I also think that some of the coaches' kind of reaction right now is not doing him a lot of favors. Hmm. I think that when you look at Italy and them apologizing for not qualifying for a World Cup, and I think that when you look at sort of Stuart straight after the game against Senegal in Polokwane and saying, you know, it wasn't my mandate to qualify for a World Cup, I don't think that's a well-thought-out statement. I think it was obviously not a written mandate, but it was an unspoken mandate, and certainly the coach took the job hoping to go to the World Cup, and certainly we hired him hoping that he would qualify. So I think when you're kind of that defensive, it's
But Mark, sorry to interrupt you here as well.
Yeah.
One might feel that, I mean, if you look at the history of Bafana Bafana coaches and the media, which you are one of the big members of the media, of course, because we read your stuff on a weekly basis. You go back and, you know, there's Peter Mosimane, who by the time he was done with his tenure with Bafana Bafana had no friends in the media. You go back to Sheikh Mashaba. One of the reasons he was fired is because of the way he answered the media and you know, the same foul attitude he had towards the media. Now Stuart Baxter, Is there a little bit more into this that maybe it's not the coaches, it's you guys and the way that you treat South African coaches?
Yeah, sure, Andile, and I guess I'd hope you include yourself in that too. we're all the media here. Look, Andile, I think this is a tough one. I think we do have a tendency to get a bit hysterical in South Africa, and that's not just the media, that's the public as well. But I think when you look at this case in isolation, and when you look at all the other cases in isolation, look, there are elements of the media that are more hysterical. There are other elements that are more calm. I've certainly, in my criticism of Stuart Baxter, tried to remain completely professional and to keep it at a very non-personal level and to simply reflect the views of the public, to reflect the disappointment of the public and the implications going forward. And I think we have our sort of more extreme elements within the media. We have our more sober-minded elements within the media. And I think I don't think that's a South African phenomenon. I think that's around the world. I think what's in this case with Stuart, you know, like you said, he was coming back from not qualifying for a World Cup. We had gone there by invitation of SAFA. And when we, you know, for Stuart to come back and then not want to speak to the media, when there are major questions to be answered on not qualifying for the World Cup, I think there's a big issue there. I think also when Stuart took issue with a particular journalist because he was from Sunday Times, and one of the things he said was that you were in chair when I beat Nigeria, and this journalist wasn't even employed by Sunday Times at that time. I made the point to him, actually, I was on the plane back with you. I went on the Nigeria trip. So I was there.
Wow.
So,
unfortunately.
But I also want to make a point that this journalist, Fazi Khadebe, has been employed in the last 2 months in Sunday Times. He's not really written a lot that's been very scathing of Stuart Baxter.
Well,
he's
a former editor of
Isilezwe. He's a highly respected journalist who's just come back to writing football. And I do think Stuart needs to understand his background a bit more before jumping to conclusions. He sort of was acting like we were there to ambush him. We were there by invitation.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, and you said we, I am part of we, and I feel we asking all the right questions to get to the answers.
Yeah.
I feel we are allowed to speak to a Bafana Bafana coach that represents South Africa and goes out there with players wearing our colors, you know, with our name embedded on them. So, Stuart Baxter, for me, just not good enough in the way that he's reacting at the moment. But that's where we leave it. Mark, thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, you've got to take it on the chin a bit, I think, Andile. But thanks very much, and thanks always for giving me a call, man.
Oh, always a pleasure. Love speaking to Mark Stratton. Give us a call, 089-110-2000.
Reward yourself after a long day at work with Real Talk with Anele, Mondays to Fridays, 5 p.m. on SABC 3. We catch up with ordinary South Africans doing extraordinary things. Your favorite celebrities bring you your entertainment fix. And of course, we help you with expert advice from all aspects of your life. End your day off on a high with Real Talk with Anele, Mondays to Fridays, 5 p.m. on SABC 3.
Every bit of news. Be confident that SABC News will bring you facts straight from the source, whether it's different opinions.
This flag represents the worst of South Africa. So we believe that maybe it should be banned.
If we allow the banning of the flag, they must remember they're opening the door for government now to start banning things that they dislike. So it's part of history and you cannot ban history.
Or an encouraging message.
Let us have real unity that is going to be against corruption, that is going to be against patronage.
Stay tuned and informed. Make SABC News your number one source of news.
Game On Amplified, 6 to 7 p.m. on Radio 2000.
Now, your reactions on 089-110-2000 and all that's been spoken of on this show. And, of course, you can also touch on the big one. It is the Telkom knockout with Bulawayo City take on Bloemfontein Celtic at the old Peter Mokaba Stadium with a kickoff at 3:30. And you've got Bidvest Wits that host Kaizer Chiefs at 3:30 as well. Remember, Bulawayo City, they beat Ajax Cape Town 4-3 in a penalty shootout after a goalless draw and then went on to beat Orlando Pirates in another another penalty shootout 4-2 after a 2-all draw. Celtic had the lottery as a shootout, upsetting giants SuperSport United in the round of 16 before seeing off Platinum Stars 2-1 to advance to the semis. Vets, on the other hand, had to beat a team that's known as the Hoodoo team, Free State Stars 4-2, before beating the on-form Barroca 1-0. And then you had Kaizer Chiefs with an emphatic 3-0 victory at the Moses Mabhida Stadium against AmaZulu, and then a 1-0 win against the resurgent Chipa United at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. So those are the teams and those are the games this coming weekend. Give me a call, 089-110-2000. Let's go into it. Let's start, of course, with Kamo. Kamo, welcome.
Hey, Mr. Mubayu.
Hey, easy. Kamo, are you there?
No. Yes, I'm here. I'm
yes,
here.
Can go you for me? It. I can hear you now.
Yes, I'm saying it's going to be a humping of a weekend. I mean, you've got the Madrid derby, you've got the North London derby, and of course, the Telkom knockout. Telkom knockout, of course, is going to be a big one. I mean, it's the final before the final, and you remember the last time these two teams met. Yes, Vets and Chiefs. So I hope there won't be any clearing this time. I hope things will go accordingly. And let's have a great game.
Of course, Kamo, speaking about the incident of Steve Khompela on the sidelines. Kamo, thanks for the reminder.
Thank you,
Pramid. Okay, let's go to Mustafa. Mustafa.
Hello, Andile.
Hi, welcome.
How are you, sir?
Good, man.
Yeah, I know I just want to comment about the issue that you are just talking about now, about Jared Boxer's reaction or something like that when he returned from the
Senegal.
I think we must also understand, in the same way, I mean, having seen or observed his probably, it may be viewed as an attitude or something like that, but you must also understand that Charles Barca is also a person just like you and me. He also felt the same feeling that we felt when the team lost. You know? And we must also understand that, the loss of the team lost not because they wanted the team to lose. When the players miss penalties, it's not Stuart Baxter. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, all the blame then goes back to him. It doesn't go to the players. But seriously, I think we've got one of the best coaches in the squad. And we're really
based on what? Because, I mean, when you listen to what Owen Da Gama said, you know, and you look at what Bafana were doing before Stuart Baxter got there, 17 matches unbeaten. He gets there, 4 matches that he's lost. And you're saying, and I completely hear that, but as a coach, there's 2 things that are included in your job. One of them, you must be a diplomat for the country as well as for that team. So it doesn't matter what your feeling is. It doesn't matter if you feel hurt. When you come back and you're addressing members of the media or otherwise, you have to do so diplomatically. And the other part of it is, as much as you need to be a coach, you need to be a motivator as well. So if players aren't getting motivated enough to do the right thing on the pitch, it still falls on your door. So you're saying he's doing well based on what?
Yeah, he's not doing well. I'm not saying he's doing well. I'm just saying that whatever we feel, he also feels it. But one thing I can actually criticize
him on. Okay, Mustafa, let me go back to this. You're saying he's one of the best coaches. What is that based on? Because Owen Da Gama speaks of him in 2006. Then, too, when we're qualifying for that World Cup, he lost 4 games that ultimately saw him sacked because he didn't qualify us for the World Cup. He hasn't played any international football since then. I mean, he did well with Kaizer Chiefs, did okay with SuperSport United. So what has he done that he's one of the best coaches?
Oh, maybe then, let me correct myself to say, maybe it's a different ball game when it comes to international than, because my assessment is just based on the teams that he has coached, in actual fact. But one more thing that I can criticize him on was the issue of Spiro Shabala. I thought that he was going to bring in that guy to play because I know that guy is too creative when it comes to controlling the ball and passing the ball to the strikers and so forth. That's what I can criticize him on, but the rest, I think we can criticize him
on bringing Spiro Shabalala on because he's creative and he can play impossible. When you have Keegan Dolly, when you have Phakamani Mahlambi, when you have Erasmus and the like sitting on the bench. But I do hear you, and it's a game of opinions, they say, right? Thank you very much, Mustafa. I really appreciate your views.
Thank you very much, Andile.
Really appreciate your views there. Let's go to KGM. KGM.
Andile.
Yes, sir.
Look, for me, this is straightforward. You see, you journalists, you have this notion of somebody gave you the right to can treat people the way you want to. But the truth of the matter is the gentleman who spoke before me actually took the words out of my mouth. Let me show you something, Andy. You were not at the airport. You don't know what happened. Your colleague who romanticizes what happened at the airport, who, by the way, speaks because he's a journalist, he can say whatever. I don't understand. Was it not going to be fair if you brought Stewart and this journalist and not get one and then the other accuse the other? And then, I mean, it's not fair.
Bring
two parties. No, wait, Anile.
Uh-huh.
Bring two parties. We hear this all the time. You journalists, you do this. I'm generalizing because it's unfair. And I'm not talking about the performance of Stewart Butler. I'm talking about the treatment that many times I've seen journalists treat people, and you get away with it. And it's not right. The way you treat people, people are human beings. You guys are supposed to also understand that. All the things you are saying, I agree with. But you have to consider that this is also a human being just like you.
I completely hear you, and I do not disagree with any points you're making. But firstly, I can tell you that we tried to get Safa. We spoke to Dominic Chimhavi, who said he's on holiday at the moment, and he is, of course, the person to go to get interviews for Safa and anybody within Bafana Bafana. We spoke to Mashamola Morake, and even with him, asked him if we could have an interview with the coach or any member of Safa who was there at the airport. My journalist who was romanticizing it, he was there. Mark Stratum was part of those journalists that were there. And the questions that were being asked are the questions that you want the answers to. When you read the papers, when you watching television, listening to the radio, how do we speak about the Bafana Bafana? How do we speak about a Stewart Baxter if we don't ask the questions that we need to ask? The manner in which the questions are asked, maybe, and we weren't there to see or hear that, maybe the manner in which we're asked could be offensive in the way that they're being asked. But the questions being asked, they need to be asked. And if you are hurt, by questions being asked to you, then maybe you're in the wrong job there. KGM, what do you think?
Andile, the last point. Nobody can walk into SABC and want to see the CEO. There's procedure, there's process. You guys need to respect that. The same way that you expect people to respect you, respect them back.
There's
nothing
an invite.
Wrong in asking questions.
Safa invited the journalists.
Andile, the fact that there was an invite does not give you the right to now, because your invite was declined or technically refused or whatever, it doesn't give you the right to now be so perpetually attacking of our national coach. For as long as he's in that position, he's our national coach. Respect him. Give him time. He will come. You always do that, Andile. You guys are good journalists. You always get them to the studio. But for you to now be going on and on telling us about how Stewart Baxter is not good, you've never kicked the ball. You've never coached a team. You don't know what it takes. At least I've owned one. So can we talk from an informed position?
Okay, Jim, firstly, that is a personal attack on myself, and I don't think I'm, you know, the person to personally attack on this. I'm a journalist who goes out there to get information. I hear your frustrations, and hence I ask the question, are we as journos, and I asked this to Mark Stratum, are we as journos, quoted the Times against Peter Musimane, and of course against Sheikh Mashaba as well, and the personal attack on kicking a ball? You don't know where I come from either. You don't know about what football experience I have or not have. But that's not what we're speaking about now. I do hear your points, and some of those will take to journalists. Really appreciate your call and, of course, listening to the show, KGM.
Thanks, Andile.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I can see that the next show coming up right now. So we got to rush. We got to go. I'd love to take more of your calls, but this continues next week as well. And trust me, good or bad, we'll take your call.
This week on The Fighter, the most explosive competition in reality TV. Watch as South Africa's Brendan Lazar clashes with Cameroon's Batamag Bertrand in the hexagon. The loser is eliminated and the winner advances toward the finale. Don't miss The Fighter this Saturday at 9 p.m. on SABC3. Brought to you by SABC Sport.
It's a little bit late, a minute past the hour, 7, but to Gavin Koppel, ever so kind. But it's because he's looking forward to the Marvin Gaye he's going to play, the Earth, Wind and Fire that's coming up, the Tabe that takes you back to the days of Tito Diabulela. That's all coming up on the show with Gavin Koppel. Thank you so much for listening. We do this every single day, Monday to Friday, 6 till 7, with my producer, Siobhan Chetty.